And as the effects of this partial government shutdown continue to play out, let's turn now to our immigration courts. In May, we talked to the Secretary-Treasurer of the National Association of Immigration Judges, Judge Lawrence Berman. He told us then about the 700,000 backlogged cases in immigration courts nationwide. That was before the partial government shutdown that ended on Friday. Syracuse University's Transactional Records Access Clearinghouse, or TRAC, estimated that if the shutdown lasted until February 1st, the immigration court backlog would have grown by another 100,000 cases nationwide. As we know it, it ended just shy of that. The total for Arizona's backlog in that time, over 2,000 cases. During the shutdown, the cases of individuals in immigration detention weren't canceled, but the rest were. That means about 300 of the 400 total immigration judges were furloughed, and that includes our next guest, Judge Ashley Tabador, president of the National Association of Immigration Judges. Please note she does not speak for the DOJ, but only in her capacity of as a NAIM president. I spoke with her more about this morning via Skype, and we began with her typical caseload. What does a regular day's docket look like for her?
I can hear anywhere from 25 to 40 cases a day, depending on the particular agenda for the day. Some of my colleagues are forced to hear twice that amount in the same period of time.
Wow, so already a big caseload. And I know we spoke to your colleague with the NAIJ back in May about then Attorney General Sessions setting case quotas to try to speed up the system, to try to deal with the backlog that already exists of cases in immigration court. Give us a sense of, before the shutdown, what that looked like.
Well, we have well over 800,000 pending cases backlog. And from those 800,000, about 90 to 95% of those cases are on our what's called non-detained docket. That means those are cases of individuals who have either been released from detention or who have never been in detention. Those are the cases that were mostly impacted by the shutdown, because those were the cases that were canceled. So the hearings that were canceled for the days of the shutdown are the ones that are on our non-detained dockets. Our judges who handle the non-detained dockets are about 300 out of the 400 judges that we have. And on average, a judge can have upwards of 4,000 or 5,000 cases on his or her docket. So we are in court every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, morning and afternoon. And our calendars or our agendas are completely booked out years in advance.
So today is your first day back to work, as the shutdown has just ended. Of course, it might happen again in a few weeks. We'll see. But what are you walking back into then today? I mean, what's this going to look like in terms of catch up for you?
So from what I've been hearing, because I haven't had the chance to go in yet, what I've been hearing is that there are piles and piles of filing. So these are paperwork for the cases that have been filed by the individuals during the shutdown through the mail. So there's boxes and boxes piled on top of each other. And of course, there are a lot of motions, and there are a lot of requests that were pending for those cases that have now expired because the cases or the hearings were canceled. And then we have pre-existing dockets. As I mentioned, everybody is pre-booked for years in advance. So I have on my docket already about 25, 30 cases that are scheduled today. And instead of sort of giving us some sort of a ramp-up time to be able to come back, go through some paperwork, review the dockets, we got notice essentially on Friday that it's going to be business as usual on Monday, that we should expect to go in and basically hit the ground running. The problem with that is that judges haven't had a chance to review those files because it has been weeks since we've been into court, and interpreters haven't been ordered for those cases, and cases haven't even been pulled because usually our clerks are so backlogged with our pending caseload that they do not pull the files until maybe a couple of weeks in advance of the hearing. So I understand that they have authorized some overtime for some of the support staff who are interested in volunteering to come in over the weekend. It remains to be seen how much has been able to be done over the weekend to prepare us for today.
Right, right. Nationally, then, and looking forward, does this just add to that backlog that you described earlier in the interview?
Well, certainly, because my understanding is upwards of 80,000 hearings were canceled. So those are hearings that have to be rescheduled. Most likely, if a case was scheduled for trial, because we are so backlogged, it's going to have to go to the back of the line. So that's going to add more to the existing time and existing caseload of the judges.
Yeah. So there's all of this rhetoric about immigration and about the border and the wall, which is obviously what this shutdown was all about in the first place. In your opinion, though, in your position as an immigration judge, what do immigration courts need? What would be the most useful thing for this overall system?
What we in our organization have been saying for years is that all of this stems from this fundamental design flaw. And what I mean by that is that we are a court in the Justice Department run by the Attorney General, who's our number one federal prosecutor. Mm-hmm. Regardless of your opinion on whatever law enforcement priorities the administration may be pursuing, a court system should not be part of that. A court system should not be used as an extension of one administration's or any law enforcement priorities. So our sister court, our federal courts, who are separate and apart and independent from all of this, continue to function through the shutdown because they have independent funding and because they are not part of this whole quagmire. Mm-hmm. And that's where we belong. We belong outside of the Justice Department, independent of the parties who come before us. Mm-hmm.
So, as we mentioned, the shutdown is officially over at this point, but could, you know, start up again on the 15th in a couple of weeks. How do you feel going forward in terms of the uncertainty surrounding that? Like, could this happen all over again? And what would that look like? What would the result of that be?
Well, I think at this point, we must now really start planning for future shutdowns because we are beginning to see it more and more often. And this past shutdown really taught us that there was no planning. We saw the brunt of the shutdown fall only on a quarter of our judges' shoulders. And that was very, very difficult to see that those judges were having to go in and had their flexible work schedules canceled. So they were incurring additional childcare costs and additional personal expenses. There really wasn't adequate foresight and planning because nobody really expected that the shutdown would either occur or that it would last as long as it did. Mm-hmm. I think with this experience, we now recognize that we need to have some serious planning for any future shutdowns.
All right. That's Judge Ashley Tabador, the president of the National Association of Immigration Judges. Judge, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.